I just find it fascinating that so many of the issues that are out there right now are based on this false notion that men and women are completely interchangeable.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway talking about her presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I mean, all these really hot-button issues are based on some confusion about where men and women are equal, in what terms are they equal, and then, you know, most importantly, how are we different, and is that difference a bad thing? Is it a good thing? You know, what does God have to say about these differences, and, you know, how should the Christian think about these differences? So I am so excited to come to this conference and talk about these issues, which animate so much of our political and social and cultural discourse, and also the things we struggle with in the church as well.
You can meet and hear Molly Ziegler-Hemingway making the case for the differences between men and women June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Senator, the DNC is picking up on your comments you made with AP this morning on abortion. And I just want to know where you do stand on exemptions. Should there be any exemptions for abortion or not?
What's the DNC say? You know, I guess here's the question. You know, we always seem to have the debate way over here on what are the exact details of exceptions or when it starts. Why don't we ask the DNC, is it okay to kill a 7-pound baby in the uterus? You go back and you ask Debbie Wasserman Schultz if she's okay with killing a 7-pound baby that is just not yet born yet. Ask her when life begins. And you ask Debbie when she's willing to protect life. When you get an answer from Debbie, come back to me.
Thank you, guys.
That's presidential candidate Rand Paul in New Hampshire answering questions from reporters and turning the tables on a question that he gets asked a lot, that other Republican candidates get asked a lot, that if you're pro-life, regardless of what party you are affiliated with, you get asked a lot. Why is it that the same kind of questions, the same pointed questions, like when does life begin? When do you start protecting life in the womb? Don't get asked of politicians or of representatives who are pro-choice. He's just simply pointed out a double standard in the media. And he's paying the price for it in the media as well. Joining us to talk about the media's abortion double standard, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway. She's a senior editor at The Federalist, and she's author of a recent column titled, Finally, Rand Paul Exposes the Media's Serious Abortion Double Standard. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here with you.
What did Senator Paul's response to the reporter here, kind of turning the tables, what did he expose about the media and abortion?
Well, it's interesting to put it in context, too. He had spent the entire day getting peppered with questions about his abortion position. He'd actually been answering them all day. The previous day, the Democratic Party and their sort of allies in the abortion lobby had been pushing this idea that he had, that his pro-life stance was a problem. And so he, after all of these questions, he says, you know, we're always talking about the topic way over here. How about you go ahead and ask these people who are extreme on the other side some questions? And it was such a brilliant and obvious thing to do, to just point out that the media are forever asking pro-life candidates about the minutiae of their positions and trying to get them into, you know, get a gotcha on this or that, or trap them in this question or that. And they never, ever, ever, ever ask pro-choice candidates about the logical extension of their beliefs or sort of the more extreme ramifications of their beliefs. It's just something they don't do. He pointed it out, and it, you know, it obviously worked for him.
Okay, why hasn't a major candidate, a pro-life candidate, done this before?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think that there are a few things to keep in mind. One, in general, you do, I think, historically, who have wanted to play well with the media and get along with them. They hold so much power. And so pointing out their unbridled hypocrisy is something of a dangerous move. Another is that a lot of candidates across the spectrum are pretty cowardly, and they don't know, they don't have the rhetorical skills to pull it off. So I think that the cowardice and just the lack of training with understanding. And also, you know, I always sort of wonder if they are as pro-life as they make themselves out to be, because even an average pro-lifer knows how to do this in a, you know, in a conversation with someone about their views. So I think, you know, it's a combination of factors.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz did respond. I'm sure you've seen it. I'll read her response to you, to Rand Paul's challenge, so to speak. She says, here's an answer. I support letting women and their doctors make this decision without government getting involved, period. End of story. Now your turn, Senator Paul. We know that you want to allow government officials like yourself to make this decision for women, but do you stand by your opposition to any exceptions, even when it comes to rape, incest, or life of the mother? Or do we just have different definitions of personal liberty? And I'd appreciate it if you could respond without shushing me. What's in her response there? Did she answer the senator's question?
Well, you know, a good reporter would see that she did, in fact, answer that she believes it should be legal to kill an unborn child up until the moment the child is exiting the birth canal, at least. I mean, I would actually kind of ask her if it extends beyond that, and if so, why. She volunteered this position. I think that's interesting that no reporter actually went and asked her any tough questions. She just volunteered this, presumably thinking that the media would do what it always does, which is coddle the answer and put it in the most protective light. And I, in fact, saw CNN's Wolf Blitzer ask Rand Paul, like, okay, here was her answer. And Rand Paul had to point out, you do realize she just advocated for killing children up until the moment of birth. You know, this is something that more objective media would be able to point out without the candidate having to do so.
She takes a little jab at him, personal liberty. Obviously, he is kind of the poster boy for libertarianism, and she's trying to say, look, you're not really that in favor of liberty, are you? How would you respond if you were Senator Paul?
Well, you know, it's also funny. I just want to point out that Wolf Blitzer completely used that line also against Rand Paul. He said, you know, here you claim to be a libertarian, and yet you believe in protecting life. You know, how can this be? And, you know, of course, people who are libertarian believe that protection of life, or many people who are libertarian believe that protection of life is a legitimate function of the protection of the right to life is a legitimate function of the government. And the question on abortion is always whether you believe, you know, agreeing with science, what we know about when human life begins, or whether you sort of adopt a magical position about life beginning at some other arbitrary moment, contra everything we know from science and logic. And so the libertarian position on this, certainly many libertarians are pro-choice, but a lot of libertarians aren't. And it's based on your understanding of the natural right to life that people have by virtue of their existence.
Give us some other examples of what Senator Paul actually pointed out, which is it's not just a lack of balance when it comes to reporting on the abortion issue, pro-life versus pro-choice. It's just a sheer cliff, really. Give us some examples.
Well, I mean, I always think of questions that I would love to see pro-choice politicians ask. And, by the way, I have suggested these questions to political reporters all the time. You know, whether these pro-choice positions on abortion mean that that it should be legal to kill you just because you're female, you know, an unborn child just because she's female, or because she has a cleft palate. You know, some questions like that, I think, would really help us understand just how extreme people's positions are. And, you know, another thing, this is kind of, you know, related. I noticed today that the Washington Post had a story which argued that abortion is illegal in this country after 24 weeks. This from the same paper that just like a couple weeks ago was profiling someone who does abortions at 33 weeks. I mean, they're always presenting this news as if people who are stridently pro-choice or consistently pro-choice aren't as radical as they are. It's not just a double standard. It's more like no standards, or the standard is, you know, people who are pro-choice will never have to answer any tough questions, and people who are pro-life will always have nothing to do but answer a tough question.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about kind of the picture that's going to emerge here for anyone who wants to step forward into the kind of the feeding frenzy of the press on this issue and hopes to have a presidential chance. What do they need to know? Given what Senator Paul has, he may be the guy, but he might not be. What do they need to know? How would you advise a potential presidential candidate in dealing with the press when it comes to this constant bombardment about exceptions, about your real position, all of this surrounding abortion?
Right. I would say, you know, we've always seen a media climate that is friendlier to liberals than to conservatives. I think it's gotten much worse. So people are going to have to, people who want to run for president who are on the right side of the ledger are going to have to just come to terms with the reality that the media is yet another opponent they have to vanquish. Having said that, it is very important that when fighting media bias, you do it cheerfully and sort of speak above the media directly to people who are more reasonable. And I think you've seen examples of people doing this, you know, historically where they're able to do this. And any Republican candidate has got to figure that out. Even if right now the media are being softer on, you know, Jeb Bush than Rand Paul, if Jeb Bush were to get the nomination, they would be just as hostile toward him as they were, as they are to Rand Paul. So nobody is exempted from this. Anyone who is even moderately pro-life will have to face this situation.
Could we say, with a fair chance of not exaggerating, that for the press and for the pro-life kind of vocal minority, I think we could call that, given what the American people actually believe about abortion and restrictions on it, that abortion is an issue upon which they will brook no compromise whatsoever. That's what it sounds like Debbie Wasserman Schultz is saying.
Well, that's what she's saying. It's what all of them have been saying for a long time. And even electoral losses don't seem to get them to change their views on this. One of the things I thought was interesting is that a political reporter I was speaking with earlier this week had the idea that abortion, the Republican stance, the pro-life stance, is less popular in America than the pro-choice stance. First of all, there's nothing statistically to bear this out. But he admitted that in 2014, the Democrats' war on women failed completely. But he thought that was just because, not because voters were maybe different on social issues than he realized, but that they must be caring about other issues. The media are amazingly resistant to any introspection about how they cover this topic. They will not change. They're only digging in. You wouldn't believe some of the emails I've gotten from big-time reporters who are asserting that, no, they in fact do cover abortion fairly. They're just unable to demonstrate it when I ask for examples. They're not going to change. They have a renewed sense of purpose. They have taken 8 years off of any criticism of, of a president or anything like that, and they now have sort of this renewed sense of vigor that they should be, digging deep on issues so long as those issues are presented by someone on the right side of the ledger.
Why is that? Why is the media dug in like that? Why that dogmatic stance?
I actually don't know why they treat abortion like a sacrament. I mean, you're not allowed to have any dissent on it. One of the reporters who told me that he covered abortion fairly could only point to examples of criticizing Democrats for being moderately pro-life. I was like, that's actually more of the same problem than vindicating your response. But they clearly care very deeply about abortion. They really think it is an important thing to have the right to kill unborn children, and they will stop at nothing to defend that. You've seen that in the Wendy Davis story, the complete lack of coverage of the Kermit Gosnell trial. He is the serial murderer, come abortionist, who they managed to not cover for years. You see it. You saw it in the hysteria surrounding Planned Parenthood's attempt to extricate itself from its relationship with the largest abortion seller in the country, Planned Parenthood. I mean, they're not even close to being impartial on this issue. They never will be. They don't hire pro-lifers in the newsroom. I don't know why. It's a very, very bad situation, and people need to be aware of how bad the situation is, not just on abortion, but on all social issues.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a senior editor at The Federalist and author of a recent column titled, Finally, Rand Paul Exposes Media's Serious Abortion Double Standard. I highly recommend that you sign up to receive The Federalist daily news feeds via email. Just go to issuesetc.org, click The Federalist, and then subscribe. Molly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about the defrocking of five confessional Lutheran pastors by the Church of Finland when we come back from this break. Dr. Al Culver will join us. He's Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's Friday afternoon, April the 10th. After that, Chris Rosebro on This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll review some evangelical pastors' sermons, and then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.